Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
This morning, pull out your bulletins. Lots of words, but they're good words. The title of our message is What, Why, and When. This morning, on the subject of what, we will be discussing the Bible. So, let's take a look at our bulletin. Does everyone have one? Anybody that doesn't? You don't have a bulletin? Do we have someone? We've got three. Somebody can go get some bulletins. Okay, they're coming. Just when you see, I think it's Sean, when he comes back out, raise those hands again. The Bible. Wow. This is a review for some of you, and some of you, this might be new information. Down front, raise your hand if you don't have a bulletin. In the middle here, up front. The Bible, the book, holy books, authoritative book, the book of books, these are some of the names that the Bible has been called. It's actually a collection of 66 books, the world's all-time bestseller and the world's most translated book, divided into two major sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament has 39 books, 929 chapters, 7,959 verses, and I'm not even going to say how many words. You got it right there. The New Testament has 27 books, 260 chapters, 7,959 verses, and as you can see, how many words. Has survived attacks for extinction by rulers, emperors, kings, philosophers, writers, unbelievers, and a host more throughout the ages and the centuries. Interestingly, the Roman emperor Diocletian, between AD 284 and 305, he ordered absolutely every Bible to be destroyed, because he was told Christianity could not survive without its sacred book. Now, keep in mind, this at the time, it wasn't divided up in chapters and verses. It was in scrolls at the time. Many Christians died rather than to surrender copies of the scripture. After 2 years, the emperor erected a monument on which he inscribed Instincto Nomini Christianorum, which means the name Christian is extinct. The irony of this persecution is that 20 years later, Emperor Constantine ordered 50 copies of the Bible to be produced at the government's expense. How did that happen? There were some men and women of God that gave their life, and the scripture was preserved. And throughout the ages, there have been those that thought they knew more than God and that human beings could survive without God, that they themselves, whoever they were enough. But God has kept the word that we have it today. And it's been within our fingertips here in America. And so I think sometimes something that is so easily accessible is sometimes something we take for granted. It's kind of like the most precious things in your life, you have them around you, such as your children, your grandchildren. And for our musicians, it may be a guitar, it may be a trumpet. If you play the drums, it may be some drums. It's those things that are super precious to you. You keep pretty close to you. For others of you, it may be the remote control. I'm not going down that pig trail. But the things that are precious to us can become almost something we expect to have for the rest of our lives. So we don't do a whole lot to maintain it, such as our children. They're present, but we're on our phones. We're not engaging. It was such to the case, there was a school I read about this past week to where they had a sign when the parents went to pick up their children that it wasn't okay to be on their phone, that their job was to engage with their children and hear about their children's day. It's sad that someone has to give us, you know, a sign to tell us that. So if we're not careful, lots of things crowd in, and the very things that are at our fingertips, we allowed the dust to either collect or someone else to influence our children, our grandchildren. Because we see them, we think everything's okay. So, this morning, I brought the very first Bible that I remember ever being given, and that it was mine personally. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 15 and a half years, well, actually, I was 14 and a half years old. I was called to preach and started preaching at 15 and a half. But this Bible, my mom had to rework it. As you can see here, the inside of it's black. It was black leather bound. And I remember when I was a kid, how many of y'all had those little plastic things? I can't remember what they were, and you clicked it, and it made the letter on these little plastic strips. Remember that? Well, my label maker, yeah. And, well, mine's about to fall off. I did that back when I was 15 and a half, I think, or somewhere in there, those teens. But anyway, I felt the call to preach, and my mom and dad knew that I wanted a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Well, these things were totally unattainable for me. They were so expensive that even my parents, it was a luxury. I was the youngest of five. And it was a luxury for me to have this treasure. It really means a lot to me. I've got notes of things of when I was a kid. I mean, you can kind of just see my journey growing up in the Lord. And it was falling apart. I actually have one page missing. It'd be great if I could find another chain reference where I could take that one page and put it in this one. But this Bible means a lot to me. And I encourage you, I also use my other resources. But I encourage you, fall in love with your Bible. Track your journey as God gives you promises for a moment in your life where it just leaped off the page. Maybe Pastor Richard was preaching, and that just leaped off the page. Well, if you don't have your Bible right then, and y'all know me, I encourage you, where's your Bible? Anybody showing me your Bible? You know, I usually always say that when I preach, thank you. But if you don't have it, I want you to write it down. Then I want you to go home and get you one of those fun pens, glitter pens, a highlighter, something fun that'll last throughout the ages. I want you to underline that. And then I want you to write the date. Then what you were going through at the time that God was giving you that. And this is tracking a journey because you're building a legacy for your children and your grandchildren. One day, they're going to bury you. And your story's going to be between those pages. I love my iPhone. Because I love my gateway. I can click in there. I can pull that up. I can find my scriptures as I'm doing my devotions. But nobody's going to see my journey through that. So I want to encourage you. Use all your empowerment. But don't forget it's just about you. Remember, you're building a story in your journey. Okay? So what we're talking about this morning is the Bible. And I want you to take home this. Don't lose it, okay? And I want you to have some fun looking at the back at the fun facts, I want you to hang on to this, because the point of today, I feel like what the Lord is speaking to our hearts is, please fall in love with me and my words again, to where it begins to be the first thing you think of when you wake up. It begins to be like something inside of you is starving for a drink of water, but it's the Word of God. And if it's gotten to the point, that really hasn't been the case. All the demands of life have pushed that out, and it's kind of like how we treat our kids or grandkids or our family members sometimes, when we just let life demand everything of us. But I've got news for us today. We've been bought with a price. We belong to the Most High, and He's got our time, our responsibilities, and our demands in His hands if we'll let Him. And He'll smooth out the way if we will put Him first. He will make what takes you 2 hours to do, He'll make 30 minutes. He will smooth the way for you. Am I saying you're going to have the easiest way in life? No, but He will make the way. If you put Him first, the Word of God says that all these other things will be added. So, as to the question, we said what? Now, I'm going to say why. Why is this so important? I just came across this information this past week. Said many Christian scholars predict that Islam will overtake Christianity as the world's largest religion by 2050. However, I do not think those scholars have taken into account the empowerment is to be had when a revival, the fires of God begin to spring up within His people to pick up and dust off that Bible and begin to hunger and thirst to know the hidden treasures that God before time had planned to lay out for us. The scholars, I don't think, took into account the power of revival in our lives. God chose to reveal Himself not only through creation. We can look around and know there's no way that slap dab came together in a big bang. I mean, I'm sorry. I think those of us here have a little more intelligence than that, and I know it was great scientists that came up with that, but I'm sorry. I think and know and believe that it took a higher intelligence of what we can even embrace to create the majesty that God has been so kind to allow us to live in. So He's revealed Himself in His creation. He's revealed Himself to the peoples that never had the privilege of getting God's word through their conscience. He reveals Himself many times through our conscience if we will not harden it. But He especially decided to reveal Himself through His Word. And in the Old Testament, His Word, He would come and visit prophets and various leaders that He had called, and He revealed His Word for the season, for the hour, for what was going on for His people. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. That was good. But the Word became flesh, and that was Jesus. So He sent Jesus. So we're going to talk about why this morning. Let's read our text. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, I like the way the Message gives us, it gives us a current and relatable vision. And it states, "His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through the gunk," basically, cutting through everything, whether it's doubt or some sort of defense within us, "and lays us open to listen and obey. It cuts through all that muddiness that our life gets through. That's why it's so important that we have an ample diet of God's Word, because life can get very confusing, very emotional, and very difficult. Let's see what God's Word has to say about the Word of God. It says, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a scripture somewhere, I can't even think where it's at. It says, when God comes to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? If our Bibles have become extinct in our life, and the Word of God is becoming further and further away from us, faith will too. Because it is through the hearing and the knowledge of the Word of God that faith is built. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face. What does seek mean to you? Seek. I didn't hear that. Say it louder. Look for. Search. I like that word. That's a good one. Seek. So if we're searching, are we just going to look around and that's it? How do we search for anything? What tools do we have now to search? Come on, guys, help me out. Google, hey. There's all kinds of online stuff out there. Some of it's true and some of it isn't. But we can search. It says, whoever calls me their father, if they'll humble themselves and talk to me and search for what my opinion about your circumstances are, and then once you know that opinion, turn away from what you found out that isn't good for you and certainly doesn't please me, because I love you and I know it's not good for you. So therefore, turn away from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive your sin and heal. I mean, it goes from personal to big. Heal your land. This is huge. The dynamic of what happens here is huge, you guys. We have in our grasp the treasures here of life. Guys, we really have the answers. Right here, right here, right here. If you say, I don't always understand, I don't get it. Well, there's lots of translations. And you know, when I was a kid, I didn't have any, I think we had the Living Bible. It was the first Living Bible. Jesus movement was going on. We had the Living Bible. I think there maybe Good News might have come out. Maybe that was a Living Bible. It's been so long, I don't remember. But I remember being so frustrated because all I had, that Bible I got right there, that's a King James version. And I'm in my teens trying to understand that thing. And the other thing I want to mention is I had never read my first book. I mean, an entire book until I was, how old was I? I think I was 19 years old, because I was dyslexic and had a learning difference. Back in those days, you didn't have nothing, but you better work hard. You're lazy if you didn't do it. You know what I mean? So I just listened real good and made straight A's listening. But I had never read a book through until I was 19, and that was very, very hard for me. It took me forever. My comprehension. And so here I am in my teens, not even knowing why I struggle so much. And I would get on my knees crying and sometimes bitterly. And I'd say, Lord, I love you. And this is your word. It's supposed to help me. But I'm so angry because I'm not getting it. Have you ever been there? And I would pray and pray and pray. And then God become alive. I was so hungry. I felt like I would die if I couldn't understand God's word. I was so hungry. When's the last time you've been so hungry? I was given permission yesterday at our coffee with girlfriends that I could use some terminology she used. And she's a sister in our house, very anointed woman of God. She used the terminology dumpster diving. How many of us are so hungry that we're dumpster diving to what the world can serve us? There's no hope in what the world has to tell us. I don't care what you listen to. It won't last. But where there's hope that does last is the Word of God. The Word of God. That's something to hang your hat on, folks. There's a lot of shifting sand. One week we hear one thing, and the next week we heard that wasn't true. Next week we've heard there's been a study on you're not supposed to do something, something you did all your life. I don't know. I don't remember. It's just been one thing after another. Maybe a household item you're not supposed to use. You used all your life, and we're all okay. But anyway, then we're told we're not supposed to use it 10 years down the road. We're told, oh, but that was okay. We changed our mind. But you guys, the sure thing that we have, the sure thing that we have, it's the Word of God. And we've got to quit discounting. We've got to quit minimizing. Just because the world wants to be analytical and figure out something else, because it doesn't make sense. Because unless you've been born again, unless you've had an experience with the Lord in such a personal way, it's not going to make sense to you either. It's only by the Holy Spirit, the delivery of the heavenly dove that places it within our spirit, that helps us to understand the Creator has just visited us and has graced us with His presence and has given us His pleasures and has given us a moment to understand the way of life, has given us a moment to be reassured that there is truly hope, that this is not just it. Why? Why do we need the Word of God? Why do we need the Word of God? Folks, I've got to have His Word every day. Lest I die. I cannot trust me. Me wants to sin. My old nature wants my way. And unless I keep myself renewed with the rivers of life, the words of God pouring through my spirit, I'm going to want my way. And I'm going to get caught up in the rapids of this world. And I'm going to choose a side and start fighting. Isn't that what's going on? But folks, we need revival. We need to start hungry and thirsty for the Word of God, because it will pour life in our spirit. It will give us a drink that will satisfy us. Then no matter what you hear, you're sure-footed. You're not moving to the left. You're not moving to the right. You know this kingdom is not of this world, but we're going somewhere else. This earth is not our home, but we're journeying to another place. If this is all we've got, then we're in trouble. Man can't save us. The only man I know is the one that was transformed into the Son of the living God in flesh. He's the only man that can save us. And it's time for us to quit getting entangled into the arms of flesh. Getting entangled to the world. Walking around angry. Getting involved with stuff we don't need to get involved with. We are to get involved with the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Life. If you pour life in your spirit, then when you go to work, life will be emanating. If you stay on your knees, as my mama had calluses on her knees, she only went to the fifth grade, and she had a deeper understanding of the Word of God because she walked it out.
And she passed on to me a legacy. I remember the stories of claiming God's promises when we were backed up against the wall. We didn't have the news media giving us hope when the hail was coming in to hail out our cotton. We didn't have anybody telling us anything that could help us. The only thing that helped us was my mom on her knees calling out to God to meet our needs, because the word of God said, if you will humble yourself and you will fall down before God and you will pray and you won't just say, punch the button, God, get over here, I need some help, but instead you'll get before his face and you'll let everything else go to pot, so to speak. Not really, but you'll get off your merry-go-round and listen and take time with God and seek his heart for the matter. You will find him faithful. You will find him faithful. Second Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is valuable for teaching the truth. If there ever was a day, truth to be had is very difficult. Convicting of sin, correcting faults, and training in right living. The word training indicates that we're practicing. We're practicing. Training involves practicing. If you're practicing, do you get it right the first time, Lee? Probably not, huh? So all of you that's let the devil lock you up in the broom closet and tell you that you're no value at all because you've been messing up. You just tell the devil, shut up, I'm practicing. God's training me. In Jesus' name. All scripture is God-breathed and is valuable for teaching the truth, convicting of sin, correcting faults, and training in right living. Thus, anyone who belongs to God may be fully equipped for every good work. Now, do you know anything, anywhere, some self-help program that says it that well? Kind of hit the whole thing, didn't it? You know. Psalms 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart. Why? Okay, that living word in us helps us practice a little better. Psalms 119:105, you guys can help me quote them if they start coming. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my. That made it personal. It said my. Didn't say yours, it said my. So when you read it, it's my for you, right? That means we all work out our own salvation on our knees, reading and pouring and learning God's word. And he will make the light for my path, your path, right? Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16 says, I want you to really listen to this. This is written in the message, so it's today's vernacular. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in my pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't send myself into bankruptcy. Be blessed, God. Train me in your ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth. Man, I love how these are written. I delight far more in what you tell me about living
than in gathering a pile of riches or listening to anyone else. I added that. Okay, the listening to anyone else. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. What do you do when you ponder? Are you in a hurry? No. You focus. What was that? You contemplate. If you meditate, if you're pondering something, you know, I watch my little grandson, Wyatt. He's so cute when he's pondering. I bet every one of you have somebody, little Maya. Just watching them, if you could get in their brains and think, what are they thinking? I've seen Wyatt take out some little something. And then he takes it and he goes, and his eyes cross. I believe that's what the word is saying. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I take it out, I look at it, think about it. How does it apply to this piece of my life? And how does it apply when I need to react to this person at work? Yet I just ponder how it fits in my world. I attentively watch how you've done it. Now, your children watch you, but a lot of times they want to say, I know, I know, I know. And they just want to grab whatever it is you're teaching them, go do it. How many parents out there can say, yeah, I'm with you. I got an I know, kid. But that's just human nature. But the Lord don't want us to be like that, right? He wants us to be a little more mature than that. And he wants us to spend attentive time watching how God said it's supposed to be done. I relish everything you told me of life. I won't forget a word of it. You know, it comes to mind about how many of you have told your kids when they were little at the street, don't you get out in that street. And they're just little guys, you know. They're saying three-word sentences. And you're training them. So you're going to give them a little leeway to obey you. Invariably, what do? They get out there in that street. And back in my day when I raised kids, I felt like that, and even the psychologist that taught our psychology class, she had six kids, she agreed. That was a real reason to spank your kid, because you're trying to save their life. You are trying to give them the tools to be safe as they grow up. The tools to be safe in this world. And sometimes that's what God's doing in our life. He's trying to give us the tools. And he doesn't want to hear us say, oh, I know, I know, I know. Because we don't really know until he makes revelation in our spirit and he reveals himself. I relish every word you've told me of life. I won't forget a word of it. Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Psalms 119:130, the unfolding of your words gives life. It gives understanding to the simple. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by, but every word from the mouth of God. John chapter 1, in the New Living Translation, it says, in the beginning, the word really already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot extinguish it. He came into the world, the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So the Word, verse 14, became human, and he made his home among us. Psalms 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart once again that I might not sin against you. Store up. That almost makes me think of a savings account. Now, how many of us live check to check? This is talking about storing up, putting away, socking away the value, the currency that you get. There are so many benefits to knowing God's word. Psalms 107:20 says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of all their destructions. For the word of the Lord in Psalms 33:4 says is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. So what did Jesus say about the truth? It'll make you free, right? Do we live free? Then let's get back in the word if we're not. So we can conclude that the Bible is not only a reliable source for literacy, ancient arts, and history, but truth. How many of you have heard, oh, just let your heart lead you, let your heart guide you? It sounds good, don't it? Sounds good. What's the Word of God say about the heart? It says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Jewish Bible says the heart and mind are deceitful above all things and incurable. Well, we know that it's definitely curable with the blood of Jesus. What determines how your heart will lead you? Well, it depends on what you feed it. You gonna feed yourself with all the hope the world has to offer? Or you can feed yourself with the hope that the Lord has to offer. The last question is when? Now. Now is the time to hide God's word in your heart. Now is the time to practice Jesus' words. Now is the time to give your heart. And as the musicians and Pastor Paul, the worship team advances up here, I will continue. Now is the time to give your children the greatest gift, the knowledge of God's word on a level they can understand. Who is going to tell your story? Remember what I said? Who's going to tell your story? Have you been tracking a story? Who's going to tell your journey of faith and how God has been faithful to you and therefore be able to bring hope to your children when you're not there and your grandchildren? Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Back in those days, they threw old salt that wasn't any good in a pathway, and it kind of made like a gravel pathway. Salt in those days was a necessary thing to sustain life. And if we're the salt of the earth, salt, table salt, the only way you can dilute that is water or electricity or hot sun, you know. It's got a real tight chemistry bond, sodium chloride. If we dilute the word of God in our lives, we'll lose our flavor. How many times have you heard the world say, I don't want to have anything to do with them? They quote the Bible, and there's so much judgment and critical attitude. And it doesn't have any good effect. And then there's the dilution of God's word in truth. And then there's that electrical shock of doubt. And if you don't keep the words of life within you, your children, there'll be something else to overtake. There'll be something else to feed your heart and direct your heart.
I'm going to end before I turn it over to Pastor Paul. And I want to tell you about a story I came across this past week. And it's about a mom who loved the Lord, and she died, and she left her son $50,000 and her old Bible. And this son, he was quite the philanderer. He gambled away all of his money, and that was pretty quick. And then he found himself really struggling to take care of himself. After a few years of struggling and doing without, he decided, I'm going to have to move in with somebody because I can't do it. And as he was packing, he reached up and on the shelves, his mother's Bible fell. Now, he had never opened it up. He just kept it because it was something his mama gave him. When it fell, a $100 bill fell out of it, Pastor Paul. And he went, I've been going all this time without. And there was a $100 bill in that book. He picked it up. It was just covered in dust. He picked it up. He opened it up. He turned the page. It was another $100 bill. Turned the page. It was another one. Through that whole Bible, his mother put a $100 bill in between every page. And the thing that he needed to sustain life was at his fingertips. But he never dared to open it. I invite you to bow your heads as Pastor Paul leads us in prayer.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to challenge you. Amen. I take that to mean by the clapping of your hands that something she said this morning spoke to you. Amen? And it's been my experience in church that when we hear something from God, that we need to make a response to it. We don't just get to, well, some churches you do just get to hear it and walk back out the same way you came in. But if you want to interact with God's word and you want to be changed, raise your hand. Amen. If you want a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, the scripture says you shall, not maybe, not might be, but you shall, in fact, be filled. So we're going to give you a chance to get some filling today. Amen. We're going to sing because of who you are. And while we're worshiping, I want you to worship, and I want you to do business with God. We only have a few minutes, but let's do business with God. Let's make a commitment. The Holy Spirit is speaking clearly. He spoke in his word. He spoke in worship. He's speaking right now. Crowd the devil out. Chase him away. And I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I bind your communication to everybody in this house. And I set the captive free in Jesus' name. So if you've been bound from getting into God's word, if you've been afraid of, if you've been hindered, God wants you to get into his word today. So today, bow your heads, and when we sing this song, as we're singing, let the Holy Spirit tell you what you ought to be doing. And then when you do, I want you to open your mouth and say it. Okay?
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.